Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
So many times we look at trivial things that matter nothing, and we forget just to be thankful for what we've got. The Bible said this in Psalms 103, and some of the things that I'm going to say tonight, I've said over the past years in 2018, 19, right in there, but Psalms 103 says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." The psalmist says, with everything that I've got in me, I just say, "Thank you, Lord. I bless your name for being good to me." He continues that praise in verse number 2 because he says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. For the sake of time, I'll stop reading there, but we can read on. And matter of fact, he closes out in verse number 21 and 22. "Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His host, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." You know what he's saying? Here's what he's simply saying. Everybody ought to bless the Lord. Amen. Bible said this: "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." I remember when I was a little boy, I grew up there at Turner's Creek Baptist Church, and the cemetery is what separated our church, or the house that we lived in, from the church. It's a great big cemetery, and a lot of y'all's been there, and then a little brick house, and that was the parsonage. And several years after we had been there, they went on the backside of that parsonage and built a humongous master suite on it, a big walk-in closet and bathroom and everything. And the old master bedroom was turned into Daddy's study at home, his office at home. And outside of one of the windows was a great big oak tree. And my grandpa, Carter, used to make all kinds of little wooden things. Matter of fact, I've got a tractor and trailer with logs in it that Papa made, and just a lot of things that my Papa Barker, my Pa Barker made. But he would make these little things out of wood, and it looked like a seat. And he'd put a little round piece of wood on it and stick a big nail up through it. And you'd take a cob of corn and stick it down on there, and a squirrel would crawl up on it, and it literally looked like they were setting in that seat and eating off of the table of that corn. And every Sunday morning, my daddy would sit in that study. Matter of fact, probably every morning he sat in there and read his Bible. But I always remember on Sunday mornings I'd walk in there. Daddy would be sitting there, and he fixed one of them little corn feeders, one of them little squirrel feeders out there on that oak tree. And he could sit in his chair and look out the window and see it. And about every Sunday morning, I'd walk in there, and there'd be a bunch of squirrels around that thing. One of them would run up there, and it would grab a kernel of that corn off of that cob of corn, and it would look at it, and then it would eat it. And Daddy would always say this: "You see that squirrel looking at that corn before he eats it?" And I'd say, "Yeah." He'd say, "You know what that squirrel's doing? That squirrel's saying, 'Lord, I thank you for this kernel of corn today that you've given me that I can eat for breakfast.'" And I said, "Do you really think that?" And Daddy said, "Well, the Bible says, 'Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.'" Praise you, the Lord. Now, I'll tell you something tonight. We're way behind on giving God the thanks that He deserves. You know, God really has been good to us. He really has. When you look at the condition of a third world country today, you look at kids that don't have clothes on their back, you look at kids that don't have hardly anything to eat, we never have saw a bad day when we think about that. I know that we have quote-unquote bad days, But you know what? I don't know what it's like to be sitting in my house. Matter of fact, a couple out of Brother Bradley Boone's church was sitting in their house, and that storm came through, and it literally took their house off the foundation and began floating it down what was become a river. And the gentleman there decided that they had come to a place, and he saw a fence, and he jumped out and grabbed a hold of that fence. And he said that whenever he grabbed a hold of that fence, or he told his wife to grab a hold of the fence first, to jump out first and grab a hold of that fence, and then he was going to jump out and grab a hold of her. And he said the reason he told her to go first, he knew if he couldn't hang on to her, if it got too swift for her, he could let go and she would be saved. And she grabbed a hold of that. Miss Megan was talking about, actually, she's a nurse practitioner, and she was the one that worked on her. And she grabbed a hold of it, and they didn't realize that it was a barbed wire fence. And she grabbed a hold of it, and her husband jumped out and grabbed a hold of her legs. And she was actually able to pull herself up. God showed them grace, and she pulled him and her up. And they was able to escape from that. Boy, I don't know nothing about that tonight. I've never been in a situation like that. I'll just tell you something. We don't have it as bad as we like to make out we have it sometimes. And here's what he said to us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, I'm just going to bless his holy name. I thought about this, some things that I'm thankful that I don't have. Can I say this? I'm thankful that I don't have a monkey for a mother tonight. I'm thankful that I wasn't taught that I come from somebody that swung off of a tree in the middle of nowhere that evolved into a person. I'm glad that I know who God is. I know what creation is. And I know that God formed man out of his own image. Amen. One said this, I'm thankful that I don't have a mummy for a Savior tonight. I'm thankful I don't have a mummy for a Savior tonight. I'm glad my God's not in a grave somewhere. I'm glad he's not a statue somewhere. I'm glad I'm serving a God that's alive and well. And I'm serving a Savior that's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on our behalf. Amen. One said this, I'm thankful I don't have a myth for a Bible. I'm thankful I don't have a myth for a Bible. I'm glad that this Bible is quick. That means it's alive tonight. Amen. Glad it speaks to me. I'm glad when trouble comes my way that I can read the Word of God and I can quote the Word of God. I can listen to the Word of God. And I'm glad it's not just a myth tonight. I'm telling you, every jot and every tittle of that Word of God right there is true tonight. It's God-breathed. It's God-inspired. I'm glad it's not a myth tonight. I'm glad it's real tonight. Amen. Said, preacher, how you know it's real? Because it speaks to me. Amen. One said this, I'm thankful that I don't have a modernist for a pastor. And I say this tonight, I'm glad that when I grew up, I didn't have a modernist for a pastor. I'm glad that I had a man of God that would stand up in the leadership and the direction and the filling of the Holy Ghost of God and preach the Word of God without compromise and stand for what was right. And I'm glad I don't have a modernist for a pastor tonight. And can I say this? I'm glad Amazing Grace don't have a modernist for a pastor. And I mean what I'm fixing to say. I mean it with all my heart. Before I go a different way, I'll resign. I'll go back to quote-unquote public work, and I'll just quit church. I'm not going to change, amen? I'm glad I had a pastor that instilled that. I'm glad that I don't have a morgue for a church. I'm glad I don't have a more. I'm glad that the Spirit of God speaks to us. And I was thinking about this. And probably if nothing happens, you'll hear it on Sunday right before I preach. But there's a new trio been practicing in the church. And I came up here the other night. They was practicing. And man, they got to singing. And I'm going to tell you, there was nobody but them. And Olivia was playing the guitar for them. Me and Miss Leslie walked in. I'm going to tell you something, man. The Holy Ghost settled down. And I was back there. I went to the back and told him, I said, y'all practice that with microphones. And I went back there. Main reason I went back there is because I was squalling like a baby, and I just didn't want them to see me crying like I was. And let me tell you the reason why. Because I'm thankful that I got a church that the Spirit of God, that man is free to work in and free to move in. And as they sang just the other day, I'm free to worship in it, amen. I'm thankful for that tonight. I thought about our text, and our text today is a psalm and considered by many to be his hallelujah chorus. Most agree that David was overwhelmed with appreciation for God's abundant mercy and grace in his life. Although he was known as a man after God's own heart, David had sinned and caused much grief and reproach in his life. As David considered the judgment he deserved and the pardon he had received, you know what he done? He come to a place and it compelled him to say, when I look at how bad I am, and I look at what I really deserve, and I look at the grace that God has given me, and I look at how good he has been to me, it causes me to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. The connection of Psalms 102 and Psalms 103, I believe, are worthy of noting. In Psalms 102, we found prayer. In Psalms 103, we find praise. In Psalms 102, we find the spirit is depressed. In 103, it is exalted. In Psalms 102, the rider was like a moping owl. But in Psalms 103, he is like a soaring eagle. In Psalms 102, the psalmist asks for much. But in Psalms 103, he asks for nothing and simply praises God for what he has done. And I say this in verse number one, there is a consuming praise. When he looks at the mercies of God, it consumes him to praise the Lord. As David pondered the grace and pardon of God, he was moved in the depths of his soul. Such recognition of favor and grace generated a consuming praise to David. David offered praise with every fiber of his being. He was literally overcome with gratitude and praise toward the mercy and the grace of God. His praise was not fabricated. David praised the Lord with all of his being. And can I say this again to you tonight? When we look at who we are and we look at our sinful condition, and we look at how much that we've even failed God this week, but God still loves us. I wish the rest of you would get on board with me preaching tonight, but God still loves us in spite of that. God still shows us favor in spite of that. God still forgives us every time we go to him in spite of our faults and failures. I'm telling you tonight, church, it should consume us in praise to him for who he is. I said this today. We was in Bible study, and I said, you know what? Sometimes I fail God so much that I'm ashamed to even go to him and ask him to forgive me again. You say, well, preacher, I've never been there. Well, please sign my Bible whenever I get done preaching tonight. But the truth of the matter is this. Every one of us is sinners, and every one of us deserve to die and go to hell and be in the hell with our back broke tonight. That's all we deserve. There's none good, no, not one. None of us is righteous tonight. But aren't you thankful there was a God that loved us enough that sent his son to Calvary, and there on Calvary, he that knew no sin became sin. All the sin of the world, the past sin, the present, the future sin, every bit of it at that moment was placed upon the darling Lamb of God. He that knew no sin became sin. Why? So that I could be made the righteousness of God through him. I'm righteous in the eyes of God tonight, not because of me, not because of preaching, not because of reading my Bible, not because of being in the house of God, but the reason I'm righteous tonight in the eyes of God is because as a 16-year-old young man, I realized my lost condition, but I also realized that I have a loving and compassionate Savior that gave his life for me. And that night when I placed my faith in him, through the blood of Jesus now, I have access to the throne of God. I'm righteous through his blood, not through my works. not through anything I've done, but through the blood of Christ. And when we look at Him, and we look at Calvary, and we look at the blood of Jesus, and we look at Him being long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, it should consume us to praise Him for what He's done for us. David said, my praise is a consuming praise tonight. When it consumed him in verse number 2, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits daily. He said, my praise is not only consuming, but my praise is continual. He says it's continual. He says, I will continue to praise Him. But watch this, David said in verse number 3, I'll get to the message in just a minute, but he said in verse number 3, my praise is confident. He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I said, you know what? There's times that I feel bad, Brother Josh, to even go back to God and ask Him to forgive me again. But I sure am glad that every time I do, I can go back to 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 9. If we confess our sins, thank God, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins. There's never been a time that I went to Him and asked Him to forgive me for what I've done wrong, that He said, no, I don't have time to mess with you. But thank God, based on the authority of the Scriptures tonight, when I fail, when I mess up, when I miss the mark, based on the Word of God tonight, I can go to Jesus, and Jesus is a go-between between me and God. And He says, hey God, I gave my life for Him, so let's forgive Him again. Oh yes, He's confident in that praise. But He says in verse number 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He said, my praise is consuming, it's continual, it's confident. But He says this, I see the considerate praise, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. David's life had been redeemed from construction. Again, he likely had thought back over his life, remembering the provisions of God. There were times when the enemy was close at hand, and yet God miraculously provided deliverance. He had spared David time and time again, providing an escape from death and a place to rest within His care. No doubt David was also aware that God had redeemed him from destruction spiritually as well. Although he was undeserving, God had provided for his redemption and fulfilling relationship with Him. Considerate of His praise, He says this also, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. David rejoiced in the abundant blessing he had received from the Lord. God had crowned him with loving kindness and tender mercies. His life had been flooded with the goodness and the grace of God. I guarantee you, if we took a minute and went around and asked everybody here this question, can you tell me something that you once prayed for that God has done now? I guarantee you everybody in here could say something. Matter of fact, let me tell you the reason that every one of us is sitting here tonight, because God answered somebody's prayer. God answered somebody's prayer. You know what He's saying? He's considered of that praise, and He's saying this, that He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. God has been good. Watch this, verse number 5, and then I'll give you the message tonight. He says this, there's a compassionate praise. What did He say? He said, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. David acknowledges God's good hand of blessings in every area of his life. We know that David was king and had access to resources most never will, but he praised the Lord for the abundant blessing he had received. God allowed David to enjoy life, providing sweet satisfaction as he walked with Him. God had not only met David's need, He had also provided many of his wants. David, in essence, declared that God is good. That God is good. In closing tonight, can I give you four things that I'm thankful for? Number one, I would say this tonight, I'm thankful for my Father. I'm not talking about Alan Barker, but I'm talking about what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the, watch this, sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That word Abba, Father, right there when you study it out, it literally means Papa is what it means. Can I say this to you tonight? I sure am glad for my Father tonight. I sure am glad that I've got a heavenly Father, amen, that hears me when I talk to Him. I'm glad I've got a God that I can go to in my time of trouble. You know what? There's times that my dad don't answer the phone. There's times, as a matter of fact, that I don't even take my troubles to my dad. I'm not a person that shares the things that I'm going through with people. Very rarely will you hear me open up about things. I've always been that way. Miss Leslie gets mad about it, but I've always been that way. When something gets on my mind or I'm troubled about something, I go silent, and a lot of times I get to myself. Matter of fact, the other night there was some things going on and I was trying to figure it all out, and I ended up just getting in the car, Brother Bright, and I went to Arby's in Mount Airy, and I went through the drive-thru because a good roast beef will help you. Somebody say amen right there. Ain't that right, Brother Rodney? A good roast beef will help you. Even if you had a heart attack, a good roast beef still help you. I got a roast beef, and I went to undisclosed parking lot that our UCs go to do things at, and I knew nobody would be there, Brother Aaron, and I backed out in that parking lot in the middle of nowhere, and I rolled the window down and turned the vehicle off and eat my roast beef. You say, well, you're crazy. No, it's pretty peaceful. Let me tell you the reason why, because sometimes we're so overwhelmed. Some people spills about everything. You don't have to worry about what they thinking or what they going to tell you. And sometimes you sitting back going, God bless you. I don't even know if the Lord can help you right now. Are you with me? I just said I don't normally say what I'm thinking and it just come out. But anyway, I go dormant, man. I get to myself. I don't talk about things that I'm going through. But I sure am glad that I've got one. And it don't matter what I'm going through. It don't matter what I'm facing. It don't matter how much you may not think it's nothing. To me, it's something real big. Are you with me? I can go to Him. It don't matter if it's the middle of the night or the middle of the day, the middle of nowhere or right in the middle of New York City. Thank God, He's always there and He's my Father. Number one, I say I'm thankful for my Father. Number two, watch this. It's just simple things. I'll give you an alliterated expository outline of the text right there. Number two, I'm thankful for my family. A lot of people don't have a family like I've got. I've got a good family. And I'm not just talking about my church family. I'm talking about my physical family. I got a good family. I got a mom and daddy that loves Jesus and raised me in the house of God. My sister's married to a preacher. Both of her kids, one of them's a boy, he's a preacher. The other one's a girl, and she's married to a preacher. I thank God for my family tonight. Are you with me? I thank God for Leslie's family. Her brother's not a preacher. He can preach every once in a while, but he's not. He can get on tamperance every once in a while, but he's not a preacher. But he goes to church. He's saved. He's got a testimony knowing the Lord. And her niece and nephew, matter of fact, her nephew come to church with her Sunday. Boy, I'm so thankful about that. And I say this to you tonight, I thank God for my family tonight. My family, I thank God for them. Can I just say something to you tonight? I want you to listen to what I'm fixing to say. I want you to listen to me real good. You better do everything in your power to get along with your family. I'm preaching good. You say, well, I don't agree with them on everything. You know what? Me and my sister said some knockdown dragouts. And you know what will probably happen before everything's all said and done? We'll probably have another. But I'm going to tell you right now, you better not mess with her. You see me getting the flesh real quick, you mess with my wife, You mess with my kids. You mess with the widows at this church. Somebody say amen right there. You mess with the older people in this church. You better leave them alone. They right there beside my youngins and my wife. I'm telling you, I'll get mad in the flesh real quick. And when I get done, I'll just claim 1 John 1:9 again. And you better not mess with my sister. I'm just telling you. You say, well, I just don't agree with her. I don't agree with something. You best keep your mouth shut around me. I'm just going to tell you right now. It's my family. You better learn to get along with your family. Better learn to get along with your family. Said, preacher, I just can't do it. Well, I'm just telling you. If you say you're saved, they may not get along with you, but you ought to always be the one ready for restoration. Yeah. Amen. Rebecca may get mad at me tonight and never talk to me again. That's between her and God. But if she ever decides to talk to me again, Brother Ted, I'm going to be standing there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love her. Thank God for my family tonight. I mean that. Thank God for my friends tonight. I got some of the best friends in the world. Let me tell you who a friend is. A friend, somebody knows everything about you, and yet they still love you. I'm going to tell you something, and please don't get mad at me, okay? Probably my closest friends are not in this room tonight, besides my wife and my youngins. You say, well, why are you that way? Because I'm your pastor. When you get real close to somebody, you see their imperfections. And you know what? You may couldn't handle it if you saw just how bad I am sometimes. If you knew everything that went through my mind, everybody okay? I'm talking about my closest friends. And everybody in here is my friend, and I love you, and I'll do anything I can for you. I'm talking about my closest friends. Well, I'm thankful I've got some people in my life that I can sit with, that I can talk to, that I can share my burden. I'm glad I got some preacher friends. I got one, and a lot of y'all know him. His name's John White. Boy, me and Brother John, I can call Brother John, and I can just let him have it. And Brother John, I don't think Brother John's ever got mad. He's just so even, Brother Brian. And I can call Brother John, and I can say these things. Brother John said, Well, better pray, preacher. Better pray before you deal with it. Just make sure you pray a little bit. Boy, I thank God I've got people like that in my life. Amen. People that call me out. Hey, wait a minute. I think you're moving a little bit. I think your doctrine's moving a little bit. I think your standards are changing a little bit. That's what a friend does. They call you out. You know what? If you're the right kind of friend, you listen to them and evaluate them. Every bit of criticism, you know this, I love to read on leadership. A good leader takes every bit of criticism and looks at it because it might be some truth in it. It might just be, we can, bless God, who they think they are. But Brother Aaron, they might be a little bit, thank God for my friends. But can I say this in closing? It's 8 o'clock. Thank God for my future. What are you thankful for? I'm thankful for my father, my family, my friends. Boy, I'm thankful for my future. Man, this ain't it. This ain't it. He went on to say in Romans chapter number 8, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I'm glad this is not it. I'm glad that one day this will all be done away with, and we'll be in heaven. That's my future. How about yours? I know what mine is. I'm ready to meet the Lord. Even so come Lord Jesus. If he came back right now, if I fell over dead right now, I'm not worried about it. I'm saved, man. I know that I am. Thank God for my future tonight. I want to ask you a question tonight. Miss Courtney, you care to play something softly? I want to ask you a question tonight. What are you thankful for tonight? How long has it been since you prayed and didn't ask God for nothing. Just said, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you. Thank you for being good to me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for my church. Thank you for a place I can go. Thank you for a warm bed. Thank you for my vehicle. You know what I learned to thank God for? I learned to thank God for my taste buds. I remember whenever I got out of the hospital with meningitis, the day I got out that morning, they was fixing to release me. Miss Leslie come in, and she'd been coming every morning, and she would stop at Panera. She'd stop at the Panera Bread and would get me oatmeal and bring it every morning. And that fake sausage, they had it for side. It didn't go far, Brother Elijah. She gave me that oatmeal, and man, it was good. It was easy on my stomach. That morning, they brought my breakfast, and I ate the breakfast from the hospital because I was starving, and it just didn't taste right. My orange juice didn't taste right. My coffee didn't taste right. Miss Leslie brought my oatmeal, and she had me a Sprite. None of it tasted right, and I told her, I said, "That something's wrong with that Sprite. Go get me a Coke out of the machine out there." And Miss Gina, she went out there and got me a Coke and brought it back in. I said, "It don't taste right either." We stopped at Chick-fil-A, praise God, coming home. I got a sandwich. The thing I like about Chick-fil-A is they got gluten-free bread. I got a sandwich and some French fries, and boys, it's a bad day when you don't taste your French fries. I told Leslie, I said, something ain't right. Make a long story short, I was in the hospital with meningitis. I got COVID. You know what? I'm thankful that when I turned my coffee up this morning, you with me? I'm glad I could taste it. I'm glad I could taste it. You know what, Miss Maddie? It tasted good. It was so good. I tried to get her to drink some Monday night with me, and she just wouldn't do it. I'm thankful for that, man. How long has it been since you said, God, thank you that I tasted this chocolate candy bar? How long has it been since you said, God, thank you that I could tie my shoes today when I put them on? I put my shoes on myself. I put my clothes on myself. I tied my tie myself. I ironed my shirt myself. Boy, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you. We get so wrapped up that we forget to be thankful.